are mobile.
Four, is that okay?
And Shane, 68 degrees here in the car, but it just took it out of the garage. I think it's about 62, though, outside. It's a nice day. You working or just enjoying the day?
As at the moment, enjoying the sunshine, and I got to work tonight. But, yeah, it's about 61, 62 up here.
It's a boom in my mouth. Well, you can't beat that for December. Oh, shoot. And to see the sun finally, wow. It's been depressing the last few days, I'll tell you. I don't even want to go out and get the eggs.
See the sun. We've had a good bit of rain. And it makes it hard to see the roads at night. And then, of course, you got the people that think their lights are on because their driving lights come on automatically. And in the dusk, you know, before it gets dark, the people that drive gray cars, for some reason, they don't want to use their headlights. If you buy a rain-colored car, you don't use your headlights.
There's some more modern cars for you. I leave ours on automatic. They usually come on really good in this Avalon, but I can see where that'd be a problem, and driving lights just don't cut it. Well, I don't envy you driving at night. I got good vision, but in fact, I just had a eye test done for peripheral vision and all that last week, and they called me yesterday or day before and said it'd all come out good, so I feel very lucky at my age, Shane. But I still don't like the night driving near as well as I did when I was younger.
And that's good. Your eyes came out for what? Your 47-year-old age? That's right. I've heard that before. Hey, listen, I wanted to tell you I made my first CW contact.
Congratulations. I didn't see hardly anything on there except above 70-25 last night, and that's usually... Not always, but usually the younger generation stays up in that area. What'd you come up with?
Thank you about it. It was last Friday, and I'd gotten up between 3 and 4. You probably heard of it. There's this radio club up in New England that puts on a slow-speed contest. They call it SST, and I heard a guy calling CQ, so I looked it up. And it kind of gave you a little history about it and why they do it, and it's, you know, for new operators or... newer operators to get in there, but I needed some advice because he did his call, CQ his call, and SST, and the response that they said to give would be just your call. So I did that, but he came back with N4ZL. I guess he thought the K was meaning over, even though that wasn't part of the response, the suggested response. So I sent my call again, and he did the same thing, N4ZL, and then gave his name and location. So I just said thank you and, you know, what you're supposed to do and signed off. But I wanted to find out how you thought I should handle something like that.
Happened to me a couple of nights ago, and there was one extra letter in this guy's call. I'd have to look at my log. I keep a computer log and a paper log. But I did the same thing, and he carried on the conversation for a while, and then he come back and repeated his call two or three times. And I've done that before. They'll catch my call wrong, N0TR, and they'll they will catch it as an E because it's at just one dash. And I've missed some good contacts that way, actually. But I generally, Shane, I just say my call, just MYCALL, is N0TR, and then I repeat it three times, and then I put BK back to you, or just say back to you. And that generally gets it across to them. And people are really courteous there, so it's not a problem. Just tell him, you know, just repeat your call several times, and they'll pick it up.
It's all that. I mean, I've been doing some research, but this particular contest, they even have a little format that they we're trying to get people to do. And basically, like, I just give my call once, he responds with my call, his name and state, and then I respond with, you know, good evening, Bill, or good afternoon, Bill, Shane, and then my state, and then that's it. So I just thought, well, I'll repeat my call the first time. Maybe he'll get it since he got it wrong. But they, you know, they only do it an hour every Friday, and I think Sunday nights too. At 0-100 Zulu, they'll do it on Sunday nights. But I didn't want to waste a lot of time, but I just thought I'd check with you and see what you thought about that.
Well, just interrupt TR. Sometimes in a contest, it's difficult because everybody's in a hurry. And so, you know, you did the best you could, and that's all there is to it. But at least you jumped in there and got your feet wet. And that's scary the first time, I can tell you that for sure. Boy, that must be a 747 taking off down there at GSP, because I'm seeing him clear up here at the fruit stand in Taylor's. That's a big airplane. But they're white kind of anyways against the clouds. They're hard to see. But he stands out. Machine, that's congratulations. That's great. And contests are a real good place to practice, because usually you just give a 599, you know, give your call and give a 599 and then say back, or, you know, I'm trying to think. If you said N4ZLK, I'd say TU599. And then he would come back and just say to you a lot of times. They're just really, really fast. But it's good for learning to copy call signs, and that's one of the most difficult parts of it.
And for IQ Mobile.
Yeah, I just figured they had that little pattern. They said this is the suggested use, so I thought, you know, I'm not using the K at the end of my transmission, so you should have picked it up. But anyway, go ahead, Bill. N4ZLK.
Hey, yeah, I just got in the car. Just got out of the pool. I guess got out of the pool and just got in the car. Yeah, people have a K at the end of their calls. Sometimes that's confusing. Most people, if they're a contester, they dread calls with K's at the end, because it's confusing for a lot of people. But anyway, I thought I'd get in here and say good morning. I'm going to head over to the restaurant. I'm probably going to eat out this afternoon. Well, Tom, that was interesting about the LP on the Simpson meter. Mine doesn't have that. I think a limited number have that feature. But I didn't know. I had to look it up on the internet. N4IQ.
N4IQ, N0TR. Well, there is the expert on the CW, and makes me look bad there, Shane. That's the go-to man on CW, and I admire his ability, I'll tell you for sure. Well, yeah, I appreciate you coming back to me, Bill. Chad had asked me that question. I should have picked up on it, but mine doesn't have that either. I got a Series 8, because the first one I had a 5,000-volt range on it down there at the bottom. And the newer ones, they didn't. They just had a 500-volt range, and I guess because some dummies used some bad leads, you know, when they were checking high voltage, which would be a wake-up call. But they quit doing that. But mine's got a 9-volt battery and a 1.5-volt battery, which the old one, it had four pin lights in series around the perimeter of the back, and I always used that to check SCRs, because you could put one lead on the anode, one lead on the cathode, and then take a jumper and fire the gate from the positive lead to the SCR, like the little planar types and stuff like that. Even the bigger ones, some of them would actually turn on and stay on. Some of the other ones would just fire, and when you pull the lead off, they wouldn't. But it took the 6 volts in order to do that. You couldn't do it on R times 1 or R times 100. My Fluke has a low power range, and it's really good for ammeter shunts and something that's very, very low that you need a more accurate reading with. My Fluke 87 has that, and it's dandy, but how many times, you know, being out of the industrial world, am I going to check an ammeter shunt or something? But I never thought about it being on that Simpson. Go ahead, Shane.
Of you and Bill on your comment about the K at the end of the call sign. Now you tell me. Anyway, have a good day. I'm at my next stop. You guys carry on. And Tom, I just want to let you know I'm gonna get up in tomorrow afternoon before I go to work and check that contest out again. Supposed to be for beginners, you know, to help out or people just, you know, kind of get their feet wet. So I'm gonna check it out again and maybe jump in there again. 7-3, and thanks for talking. N4ZLK.
Okay, and you're very welcome, and any of us will help you out on that. And congratulations on that first contact, and keep up the good work. It all takes elbow grease. I think Bill would tell you that. And, Bill, I was telling Chad that, you know, our old Simpsons were 20,000 ohms per volt, and the newer digitals are 10 mega ohms, and so as generations evolved in semiconductors, you could run one with that Simpson if you weren't careful. Over.
They were rugged. They were really, I think, mainly designed for electricians anyway. And that was back in, and if you had tubes and things like that, they, you know, it's hard to damage those. I guess that's probably why they had the 5,000 volt range. Some of those tubes had pretty high voltage. But what's your contest with Shane in?
But I'd not ever heard of it, so it didn't stick in my mind, Bill. It was for slow code operators, I guess, from what Shane said. I don't know if he's still there. He could tell you.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm getting out. But I'll, Bill, it was a radio club, K1 something, SUE or something up in New England, and they do a slow speed. And they started doing it on Sunday nights for an hour, and then they now they do it on Sundays and Friday afternoons at between 3 and 4 Eastern time. And just kind of help operators get their feet wet and jump in and, you know, get people to help out new operators. So first time I'd heard it, but I looked it up and I saw it. I'm going to try to 7-3-N4-ZLK.
There are some slow speed tests, SST, during the week. And it's the same thing, less than 20 words a minute. And most people are considerably less than that. I was listening to him yesterday. It's in the afternoon, later in the afternoon, and it's, you'll hear him on the lower part of 40 and 20. Was it yesterday? It may have been the day before, but that's one reason the CW Ops have that on Wednesday, local time. They have like four sessions. But people really fly on that one. And they used to have once a month a slow speed session where you're supposed to go less than 20, but half the people didn't observe it, and they finally just finally did away with it, I think because the SSD came into existence, the slow speed test. There's a lot of participation in it, and I think it's, as I recall, it's a soon report and a a SIG report and a name. You know, all that, all these contests have different. Some of these contests do not give a SIG report. For instance, if you're on the CWT on Wednesdays, the one I'm telling you about, what you send is your name, and then your membership number, and if you're not a member, then of the CW Ops, then what you do, you send your state instead. But there's a lot of people on that. I mean, that's my favorite 1 hour fix, CW week. Sometimes I operate two sessions, but they actually have four. So as long as you got propagation, just about anybody in the world can operate it. And they'll have at least one session that they can get into. N0TR, N4AQ.
Tuesday night, Bill?
They got four sessions. They got one in the morning at 1300. That's about 8 o'clock. So that's in the morning. Let's see. That's in the morning. I'm trying to think. I think that's 1900. Then they got 0300. I forget. But anyway, local time on Wednesdays, it's 8 o'clock in the morning right now. And then it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Those are the ones you and I can get into. Plus, they have one late at night, which is, I think, about 10 o'clock. And then they have one that's in the wee hours, I think primarily probably for Europeans, maybe. I don't know. But it's something like 4 o'clock in the wee hours. Over.
And the response is just your call sign and 599 and your state?
No, they don't. They do not give a signal report. That's what I was saying. A lot of these contests do not give a signal report. So all you give is your name and your membership number. And if you're not a member, which is fine, there's a lot of people get in there that aren't members. What they do, they give their name and they give their state. Over.
Okay, that'd be easy enough. Sometimes I get fumbled fingers when I send dot. I don't know why. South Carolina is difficult for me at times. Well, Bill, we're at the bank sitting out front here. They might think we're going to break in or something. So I guess we better jump out and get in there. Nice hearing you this morning. Thanks for the information last night. I should have caught that low power, but I never seen a Simpson with that before. But, yeah, the old DC drives I worked on when I first started out were Thyrotrons and lots of, you know, voltage regulating tubes and diodes and pentodes and all of that stuff, triodes. And the big tubes that ran the fields were like 2 amps, and they were 600 volts on the anode, so... it was really handy to have that old Simpson. I really enjoyed it. And then I got a 360 later on at work, and the company bought it. So I don't have it anymore, but it did have a 7-segment LED go out in it. And boy, you talk about hard to get at. It would have been a real bear to try to repair. But at any rate, Bill, you take care. Say hello to Elaine. Bernice is here.
Hi, Bill.
And I'll say 73's N4IQ N0TR.
Since I've heard you on the radio, of course, I haven't been on 2 meters much. Y'all take care. Have a good day. It looks like it's starting to clear up. Maybe it'll be more pleasant. I'm really tired of the rain and the overcast, dreary days. But anyway, 73's, and good chatting with you. This is N4IQ, QRT.
N4DJC. DJC clear.
LK Mobile.
N4IQ, I'm...
Came out there when you came in. I just arrived at my location.
I've got about 5 minutes, maybe, but I can sit out in the car. Well, I'm glad to hear you're getting involved in contesting, and even better that you're practicing your CW. I tell you, it's a great mode. I like all the digital modes. I like FD8, RIDI, and I've got schedules on PSK. I really like all the modes. Sideband is my least favorite, but probably my favorite CW still, and particularly contesting. When you have I don't know how your schedules are, but if you get a chance, look up a slow speed test, or I can send you information. But that's a really good one to get involved with, and it's not on the weekend, it's during the week. I think they have a couple sessions, I'm not sure. I have to go back. I don't operate it, but I do hear them every once in a while, and some people that are in the contest club I belong to operate it. I think it'd be something you would enjoy.
I've seen it because that's what I was hearing the guy. He's calling CQ, giving his call, and then SST. So I looked up SST, and that's what first thing that came up was this radio club talking about a slow speed contest. And there's no points or anything. You know, you don't have to. You can participate as little or as much as you want. And I was really looking for it. I'm really more interested in practicing CW more than contesting at this moment. So maybe I'll get where I want to join the contest. But I'm getting where I'm starting to be able to copy the call signs pretty quickly, sometimes the first go around. So I was listening to it, and I was like, well, I looked it up, and like, well, okay, this is for new operators is what, you know, they're designing it for, so I'll try to jump in here, but it was fun. I'm looking forward to doing it again.
Glad you're enjoying it. CWT, I don't know if you heard me talking to Tom, CWT, that has that same format. I think that's probably where they copied it from. You don't have to turn in any logs, and if you want to report it, you go to 3830 scores and you post your score there. But as far as anything else that's done with that posting officially, nothing's done with it. That's just you other people can look to see how many you got and how many points you made. I don't know in the SST, do they have points on it? Maybe you don't know if you're not really interested in the contest part. But in CWT, there is, you know, the contest programs do have CWT in it. I use N1MM, and it'll keep your score and a log of everybody, and then you can post it up on 3830. But there's no prizes given or anything like that. But what I do like about it is on the CWTs, at the end of the year, they give out these medallions, and they're for participation. So it's just, you know, if you, I forget what the numbers are, but, you know, I think if you participate in 50 a year and you posted it up on 3830, then it's a bronze. If it's like 75, you get a silver, and if it's like 90 of them in a year, you get a gold medallion, or it looks like it's gold, but it's something like that. And it's just encourage people to get on CW and participate in those CWTs. They're fun. N4IQ.
N4ZLK. Yeah, they do accumulate points. I noticed that, and I actually went to that 3830 website to look up the guy that I only made one contact. He was calling CQ, and I just jumped in, and then I had to get ready for work. So I'm not ready to start being the one calling CQ yet, but I am. Once I realized what it was and did some research on it, I'm definitely interested in maybe trying to participate more and just start going, you know, looking around for different calls that are stations that are calling CQ and maybe trying to give them some contacts.
Yeah, there's quite a few people that are involved in operating the CWT, just like the SST. They never post anything. They're just in it for the fun. They just make as many contacts as they can and feel comfortable doing. But that's it. They don't post at 3830. They don't do anything with it. I guess if you got a personal log, you know, maybe they're putting the contacts in there, but they don't even have to do that. So that's the beauty. That's the beauty, though. They're just designed for people to practice the CW and then have some fun while they're doing it. Over.
Thought, and that's what I'm excited about, because I've been practicing just having a little phone app throw out random CW letters. You know, I'm adding a new one every month, every week. I mean, I'm almost all the way through the alphabet, but I'm kind of starting to go around the bands, and I'm starting to pick up things that all of a sudden I realized I just understood what that little phrase was, or that call sign, I was able to pick it up. So I'm ready to start getting more involved in that kind of thing and hone my skills a little bit.
Well, it doesn't take long. I don't know how long I've been on CWTs, but one of my goals is to get my speed up so I could get in basically any contest that I wanted and not be intimidated by these guys that are going 40, 45 words a minute, because a lot of them do on the for real contest. And I think when I started, I was like 28. And as far as copying call signs and things like that, I mean, when I operate in CWTs, I'm operating at 40 words a minute, and there's some guys going faster than that. So it really does help your speed, whatever speed you're starting with. You know, if you're like in the 15, 16 speed words per minute range, the SST is great for that. If you're already around 20 or 25 words a minute, the CWTs are really good for increasing your speed. But my philosophy is, whatever you're doing like that, you better be having fun, or there's no reason to even be in it. Over.
Makes sense, because if I hated it, I don't know why I would be doing it. I'm not being forced to. Actually looking forward to it, so I've been enjoying it. I don't hate the practice. I was on a roll. I was doing really well, and then my son and daughter-in-law stayed with us for a little while, about a month and a half. And I lost my room. They were sleeping in there, and I got out of the habit. I was doing a daily practice every morning, probably 20, 30 minutes, and just had a routine down. But I kind of got out of that habit, so I'm trying to pick that back up again.
There's some good practice programs, you know. You probably already heard of some of these, but you may be using some, but I used to do a lot of rag chewing. I mean, a whole lot, and I used to do a lot of traffic handling. And most of that was around 20, 25 words a minute. I used to really enjoy that, but I tell you, just to sit down with like a co-practice device or something like that, I really don't enjoy it. I'd rather be doing where if I don't copy it, then it really doesn't matter, but yet I still have some kind of incentive to do my best. And that's really like those SSTs and CWTs. They're just a lot of fun. Anyway, I thought maybe you had operated a contest this weekend, like a like there's a 160 contest coming up this weekend, I think. And there's been some really good ones, like the CQ Worldwide was a couple weeks ago. That's a lot of fun. Over.
I was going to mention that when you were talking about operating contests. I heard that one going on, and I just sat down and just started copying call signs as best as I could. And most of them were from overseas in Europe that I was pulling out. So that was fun, because I was trying, you know, their call signs are different than the American call signs. So I felt like that really helped, and I was proud that I was able to get some. You know, it might take me a couple of times of hearing them send CQ, but I was just writing them down. I wasn't responding.
And typically, if you're not familiar with the DX call signs, I mean, it's like a random assortment of letters and numbers. And that's really good practice. But there were a lot of stations on for that. That's one of the most popular contests in the world. And I'd say just wall to wall. And the conditions were actually very good that weekend.
I was having trouble filtering them out so that I could concentrate on one because they were so close and coming in so well.
Operating those contests, about any contest, I use the 250 hertz filter on it. And because there can be some really strong stations just adjacent to the one that you're trying to listen to. But that's what I do. I use 250. Sometimes I'll go down to 200, but 250 is typically what I use.
Hold 757 Yaesu, 757GX, and it's got a wide and a narrow switch. Now, I've got an 857, which might have some menu settings in there to narrow it down like that, but I haven't gotten that far yet. So I was just flipping the narrow over to the narrow, and that was a big help as well.
57, I had the 757GX and the GX2. I love those little rigs. That's why my main rig for years and years was one of those radios. First time I saw that, I thought that was the most beautiful little radio I'd ever seen in my life. I fell in love with it. Saw it at Hamfest. So I eventually bought one. But yeah, it's just like you're saying, it's either wide or narrow. And I think, as I recall, it's probably around, the narrow is probably about 500 hertz, something like that. Which is a whole lot better than having about 3 kilohertz, but there's times when you need something better than 500.
Something that I could tell. But I love that radio. I get a lot of good audio reports on it when I'm on single sideband. So, hey, you know, there's not a lot to it, not a lot to set up on it, but it's easy just to sit down and operate and not have to worry about a lot of other stuff.
Something to be said for simplicity. And I've got quite a few radios, HF radios, but my favorite, just for casual operating on NADS, rag chew on CW, is an old ICOM 751A. It's the A model. I love that radio. When I want to operate it, I just walk in the room. I just I push the on button, push the mode button, and then scan the band and start operating. That, no menus at all on there. So what you see on the front panel is what you're going to get as far as any adjustments or operating. I love that radio, and it's got one of the best receivers ever. N4IQ.
Okay, I understand that. I can walk in there and flip the power supply on and then push the power button on the radio and then just tune around and, you know, switch to whatever mode I want, and that's it. So I understand that. I don't have a lot of time to read about some of this other stuff yet. I'm getting there, and I'll get into it eventually, but it's very simple and easy to get on.
I know I've got some friends who have bought the high-dollar radios, the SDR radios with multiple menus and all kinds of features on it, and they're just dumbfounded when they start.
I'm sure it would be fun to have, and I'm sure it can do a lot of stuff, but I'm not at that point where I want to spend that much time trying to figure things out yet. I'm still enjoying being on the air.
Oh yeah. Well, it's a computer. It's just a computer with a transmitter. You know, it's a computer with a transmitter and receiver. A lot of these radios, and I've got I've got some of those radios. I've got the Yaesu that's got the touch screen on it. I've got a couple 590s that I'm using SDR outboard spectrum analyzers on it that I'm using with my contesting program. And it can get pretty complicated getting all that set up with the computers and when everything's computer controlled. I mean, I enjoy it, but a lot of times I have people call me, say, can you help me? And it's just, without sitting in front of that their radio, it's almost impossible because it's not just, I mean, you can always look, use TeamViewer and look at their computer, but you don't know what their radio, how the radios are set. You can't ask enough questions to make sure that all the settings are correct so the computer will work properly and the program will work properly with the radio. It's almost a lost cause. I just kind of cringe. Most of the time I just say, well, unless I'm coming over there, I can't really do much.
That would be difficult. And I'm not real computer literate. I know some. I played around with them back in the 80s when they were coming out. But I just didn't keep up with it. And so I can do what I need to do right now. And that's all I can do right now. So maybe one day I'll have time to delve more into that kind of thing, those kind of things.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Well, the most important thing, like you mentioned a while ago, is you got to have fun. And if it just becomes work and drudgery and you don't really enjoy doing all the computer part of it, you know, before I get involved, that's just kind of the way it is. That's why I like that ICOM 751A. It just goes. You can talk on it. You can. It'll operate most modes that the others will. But it's so simple and it's just fun. And it's a big box. It's a big enough box where my fingers can get around the knobs. Over.
Matt, my wife likes to look at my hands. She calls them fat fingers. And she's always making fun of me trying to do stuff with my fat fingers. And I'm kind of a skinny guy, so I don't know where she gets that from.
Okay, maybe that's from when you're texting. I tell you, on my phone, when I text, I make all kinds of mistakes. And then what mistakes I do make, the spell checker and everything changes words around and I keep thinking, well, where did this come? I didn't put this in here. That is really frustrating.
Not just my phone. I think they're making all kinds of stuff smaller now. all these little screws and kids or whatever, everything's small. I don't know what happened.
And they started making everything smaller like that, the buttons, et cetera, screens. Then my eyesight got worse. I have a heck of a time with really small, seeing small images.
You guys are just good.
I am old.
Yeah, Bill, I tell everyone I'm 47 and dyslexic. But everything else tell me that's a lie. And OTR, go ahead, Jay.
I know both of you, and I know I'm not quite as old as you guys are, but my kids tell me I'm old all the time, and my oldest is 30. 31 now, so, and I got two grandbabies, so I'm headed that direction.
My goal is to keep getting older. You don't want to stop.
Back, Bill, the alternative kind of stinks. Well, Bill, I'll tell you what, that band scope on mine is the nicest thing I ever had in my life on there. Never dreamed of having such a thing in the old days. You just had your finger in a VFO. But I still thank you for helping me get the computer part right. I could never do it. And for the most part, it's been very, very reliable. Once in a while, it'll change a parameter, and I think it's when it does an update or something, but I use it a lot. Like last night, I got on there, and there wasn't nothing up to 7025 on 40. And I generally stay below 7025. And, you know, unless I want to go up there and just help someone out with a QSO. But I did find out, Bill, that my conversational type of CW is considerably slower than it used to be. I always write in cursive when I'm copying code in conversations because I found that printing was just too slow. But, wow, I need to practice some, just like Shane. Go ahead, Shane.
Hey, guys, I got to go here. My lunch mate's here, so I'm going to say 73. You guys have a nice day. Info IQ.
Thanks for the info.
Nice hearing you this morning. This is M0TR. Yeah, I got a 27-inch band scope on there, but you had to add a dongle, and Bob up in Hendersonville sold me the dongle, and then Bill helped me get the software right on it, Shane, and it's really nice to be up there and look at a 27-inch screen there. I thought about getting an 890 Kenwood, but guys, that mine just does so well. I don't see any reason to. The other one has a band scope on it, and then if you buy one, you got to make sure it has an IF output so that you can just plug in a computer screen to it, and you don't have to fool around with a dongle or anything. And a lot of the upper scale HF rigs are that way now, but they also cost an arm and a leg. So I don't see any reason to change. I did order some wire yesterday to redo my beverage antenna. It helps a lot, but they're somewhat. You know, I'm tired of monkeying with it. I can't figure out what's wrong with it. So I'm going to replace the RG6 down to it. Anyways, Shane, we have arrived here at Hubba Freight, so I need to get out and go into the man's toy store here. Good hearing you this morning. N4ZLK, N0TR73.
Hi, Tom. You and Miss Bernice have a good day. And thanks for the advice on the CW there. And I always enjoy talking about it. N4ZLK, and I'm pulling over for lunch as well. Talk to you later.